Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from Social Furniture out here in West Nashville, my neck of the woods, where we are giving away tickets where you can register. No purchase is necessary, obviously, and you can register to win. You don't have to be present, but you can win tickets to Game 3 and Game 4. We'll be drawing them out at the end of the show. Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville. And again, they got their Memorial Day sale up to 70% off retail, interest-free financing. And speaking of things you can get perhaps that are a little bit better than retail, Julio Jones is now officially on the trade block, according to Jeff Schultz, who covers the Falcons for their long time for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, now for the Athletic, says the Falcons want to trade Julio Jones. That is obviously not a surprise. TD is with us, Teron Davenport. So, we've known that the Falcons are going to want to look to move Julio for a while, and now it seems, even though it's not official, it seems more official, but it only becomes a story to me, TD, because Derrick Henry wants him and said so on Twitter that he wants Julio Jones to the Titans. One, do you think it's possible? And two, if it is possible, what would it take?
Well, as Kevin Garnett beautifully said, anything is possible. So I'm not going to say it's impossible. However, I will say it's not something that can easily be constructed, because that $15 million number, to fit that under the cap for the Titans, a team that is kind of cap-strapped, is going to be tough. It's going to take a lot of kicking the can down the road. We spoke about this at length, entering free agency, and that's something that they'll have to do. I don't know if they're going to be willing to do that, especially considering some of the guys that they have set to be free agents, you know, in the coming years, right? So that's a difficult thing. But Derrick Henry did say Titan TF up. However, how are we just going to ignore A.J. Brown and, you know what I mean, a lot of the stuff he was doing? Because, you know, he like Julio Jones, wears number 11, and he wants him too.
I do wonder if somebody were to sit down with A.J. and say, okay, A.J., your contract is up at the end of this year, up at the end of next year.
Right.
Your contract's up at the end of next year. You're probably going to get a deal at the end of this year. Here's how much they can pay you if Julio Jones is on the team, and here's how much they can pay you if Julio is not on the team. I wonder if that would affect AJ's feelings one way or another. That being said, I mean, there are pros and cons to the idea of bringing in Julio Jones. The biggest pro is that they have a need at wide receiver, and Julio, albeit older and less durable or whatever, can still play the position and play it at a high level as long as he's healthy. I also think another pro, to your point about AJ, is I think AJ would suck up everything that Julio Jones is about, preaches to him, the way he handles himself. I think AJ would just take that all in, you know, with the veteran leadership of a Julio Jones, which certainly couldn't hurt. But he's expensive. He's up there in age. He's fragile. And those are all things that make it hard for me to think that the Titans would have any serious interest in Julio.
Exactly. And I think that's why it would be tough. And it's funny you mentioned how Julio Jones would be someone that AJ could just eat all of the knowledge up off of. He studied Julio Jones in college. Matter of fact, his receiver coach, Jacob Peeler, who's now in, I believe, South Texas or North Texas, one of the two. But he used to do cut-ups for AJ and DK Metcalf of Julio Jones and Calvin Johnson and Randy Moss and an assortment of other guys. So, yeah, they absolutely studied them. I think this move, though, it's just difficult because, as you mentioned, with Julio Jones, there's a lot of things with him, right? You always have like an ankle or these different type of maintenance type of things that are hard to really carry over from week to week. And I'm not so sure that a guy that will be new to the offense is someone that you want to miss a whole lot of practice time. And obviously he's a very intelligent football player, but being able to get that on the field familiarity and just understanding of the scheme is critical, especially for a guy who's new to the program. So I think that would be tough. And as you mentioned, you know, 32 years old, things are starting to break down. So you have to factor that in. How many more years would they keep him?
And not only that, I do wonder, Atlanta wants to trade Julio I wonder if there's a taker in the league for Julio given the cost circumstances. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe Atlanta converts that into a signing bonus. Julio gets his check up front. They ship him off to the Titans. They spread it out over a couple of years. TD, you and I both know there's some funny money in how these things get done anyways. But I can't see the Titans. You know, there's so many things that stop in the way between them being able to sign a Julio Jones. I can't see the Titans taking on the salary unless that is changed first and foremost.
Right, because you look at his numbers over the next couple of years. I mean, you could get out in 2023. He'll be 34 years old. You could get out and you'll have a cap hit of $7.75 million. But even still, man, that's a good chunk to pay a guy to say, get out of here. You know what I mean? So sure. It sounds great, right? And in Madden, that would be an awesome trade. I just don't know that that's a trade that they should do right now. Now, obviously, if the trade happened, I mean, there are pluses to it. I just don't think long-term it has the right kind of ramifications that taking on such a high money deal would warrant.
I wonder, though, remember when they made the trade for Tannehill? And I'm not saying that they're equatable in almost any way other than this. Tannehill had a two-year deal at about $17 million or so a piece left, and he made a deal with the Dolphins to cut it to a one-year $7 million deal, mm-hmm. I believe. Got $5 million up front that day from the Dolphins and got sent to the Titans, who paid him $2 million. Could they do something like that with Julio's contract, or is there too much money on it for Julio for him to entertain the idea of doing something like that?
Well, as you mentioned, these are different circumstances, right? Ryan Tannehill was a guy who his time in Miami had just ran its course, right? And he still felt he had plenty of ability, which he's shown over the last couple of years. This was an opportunity for him. These players, just like we do, they know what's going on in the league. He knew that getting traded to the Titans, there was a good possibility that either Mariota would get hurt or what happened would happen. You know what I mean? Where there will be a time where they have to go to a switch. And I think that's what he was looking at, and he gambled on himself and it worked, right? He sacrificed $10 million and got $100 million in exchange for it. So God bless him for doing that. That being said, Julio Jones is in a totally different situation. He doesn't have to gamble. Like, that's Julio Jones. You know what I mean? He doesn't need to find another place to give him an opportunity. He is what he is. So I think in that situation, it's totally different. I couldn't see him renegotiating a deal just to go someplace else and be able to, you know, play a little bit longer in a whole new program. Again, this guy's 32 years old. I think he has a couple good years left in him, but I just don't know that he would make a deal like that just to be able to go someplace else.
How many teams across the league do you think would have interest in Julio? And I mean this with all sincerity. I mean, just because Julio's too expensive for the Titans, too old probably for the Titans, and too hurt probably for the Titans, doesn't mean that other teams don't also look at Julio and see something similar, but there could be a general manager or a coach out there that sees the old Julio and says it's worth making. Do you see much of a market at his current price tag?
I think the Colts would be a team because they have all that extra money to pay. You know, they have money there for these type of situations. Patriots, well, no, not the Patriots because they got the Patriots are an interesting team. I could see them doing this, actually. Those are the two teams. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with Baltimore's situation. But I think the Colts and Patriots would be the most likely teams. But I could see, you know, four teams. You know, you put the Ravens in there and maybe a team like the 49ers or somebody like that.
So let's take your questions for TD, 615-737-1025. We'll get to those at the end of the hour. Jeff Schultz, again, of The Athletic, longtime columnist in Atlanta. Jeff Schultz has a little bit more information on as to why they may move Julio. I just have such a hard time seeing the Titans in this. But we'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. TD is with us. Plus, TD was at Titans rookie minicamp this weekend, or this past weekend. Who did he like? What did he see? We'll get to that as well. We're live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Today we're out at Social Furniture out here in West Nashville. You can register to win a pair of tickets for game number 3 and game number 4 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Predators and Carolina Hurricanes. We will be doing the drawing at the end of the radio show, so be listening for your opportunity to get in there. Listen to the game every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's the game's 1K payday presented by Kentucky Kingdom and Hurricane Bay. Listen in for keywords at 9, noon, and 3. When you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com and enter the keyword for a shot at $1,000. TD's with us for the TD Power Hour. Teron Davenport is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So you plan on him being there at the disposal of your offense, your quarterback, Kyle Pitts? Because, I mean, the thought of him and Ridley and Pitts and obviously, you know, Hayden Hurst and Matt Ryan and your running back core, that's a hell of a core that you're going to create all sorts of matchup problems. So you expect Julio to be out there this fall?
I'm not going to predict the future. It's like when you're sitting here trying to predict the weather here.
Okay.
You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, the cap is what it is. We know that. That's why, you know, Terry and I are sitting here, and I'm sitting here talking to you.
Mm.
There's a lot of ways to get under the cap, but you know, all options are on the table. But I'm not going to give you some hot take today and tell you something that's not true. So
there you go. That was Arthur Smith on with Rich Eisen, and again, I mean, hey, Coach Art. Walking into a hornet's nest, that the first thing they do is want to trade Julio Jones. But Jeff Schultz of The Athletic says that the Falcons are interested in trading Julio Jones. Derrick Henry said, tighten TF up. I think that means bring Julio to Nashville. Loosely translated.
Yeah, that's a good translation.
Okay.
I think that's what it means.
So Ryan Porth texted me, TD. Again, the TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, Ryan Porth texted me and said, I wonder if the tweets are a sign. The Titans players lobbied for Clowney, then he signed. Then they lobbied for Bud Dupree, he signed. What does that mean for Julio? Question mark.
I'll go ahead and rhyme with Julio and say, I don't know. No, seriously, I mean, who knows what it means? It just, the Clowney situation was a lot different because you had the money to be able to do that.
Sure.
That's a move, right? The Jarrell Casey trade was, in essence, done to open up money to be able to sign Clowney. But this one is different because, like I said, I don't know that the Titans want to kick that can down the road. Now, can they do it? Absolutely. But it's going to take some cap gymnastics. And my thing is, are they willing to make those type of gymnastics, knowing what's down the line as far as A.J. Brown coming up? You got Jeffrey Simmons coming up. You're going to have to figure out, okay, Jayon Brown or Rashawn Evans. You got a lot of things coming up that have to be addressed as far as money-wise is concerned. And I'm not sure that this temporary, you know, thing with Julio Jones, does that make them a Super Bowl contender right now? Just automatically, does that put them, because I think they're a contender, but does that put them in that top four, that top three category?
I think the trade for Julio Jones would be like what Arizona did signing J.J. Watt, where I would not have been comfortable giving J.J. the money that Arizona gave J.J. And to your point, I don't think it puts Arizona up there with Seattle or the Rams or even the 49ers if they're healthy. I think Arizona is very clearly fourth in that division if, again, San Francisco's healthy. And that would be kind of the same thing. Like, sure, J.J. Watt still has some game in him, and he makes the Arizona Cardinals better. But just like that, Julio Jones still has some game in him, but he's up there in age, injury-prone, and at that price tag, to your point, I mean, I don't think he probably separates you from the Colts a little bit because I think everybody sees the AFC South as 1A and 1B. It probably separates you a little bit from the Colts. But to your point, Teron, I don't feel like you're walking into Arrowhead Stadium with Julio Jones and saying, all right, let's go take the AFC kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it's tough to sit here and say that about Julio Jones because when the guy is able to go full speed and you know, no injuries or anything like that, he's still a very good player. I don't know that it's worth what it would take to kind of shift stuff forward And like I said, I mean, you got guys who are going to become free agents. You got to – well, not even – they're going to have deals up. You want to get those guys you want to retain them as well. And, I mean, you look at Julio Jones, his contract. Now, if they could redo it, right, if they could tweak it and lower these cap numbers and make it more manageable and get him to understand, hey, look, you know what? If you stay here with the Titans, we're trending up. This is a great situation for you. I know you want to win a ring. We believe you could do that with us, et cetera, et cetera. I think then you have something that you could work with, but I just don't think that's something that would happen. I don't think that they would be able to redo a deal. I don't think that they would be able to free up all of that cap space without sacrificing some stuff in the future.
Here's what Jeff Schultz writes in The Athletic, saying that the market for Julio Jones will be limited. Quote, many teams would like Jones on their roster, but not many realistically can trade for him. The Falcons' hope is that enough teams with enough cap space to absorb Jones's $15.3 million base salary are contending teams that believe he would put them over the top, or yeah, young teams looking to take the next step. Among those that could fall into the categories, the Ravens, the 49ers, Patriots, Colts, and Chargers. One league source said the Titans may also show interest, but they are close to the cap ceiling. I mean, anybody can, in theory, be a league source. So I'm not going to, you know, take that for, hey, someone in the league says the Titans could make a move here. I mean, sure, the Titans could make a move, but I can't, one. The other thing, too, here, TD, is J.J. Watt was just a straight signing. There was no trade element to that. And if you were to try to go get Julio Jones, there probably is a trade element to getting Julio, though I don't think the Falcons get anything better than a third or a fourth for him.
Yeah, and you look at his numbers. So next year, he's actually over the next 2 years, each of them in 2022 and 23. If you have him on your roster, he accounts for $19.2 million. You have a dead cap hit of 17.5 next year and 7.75, as I mentioned before, in 2023. You're stuck. If you make this move, you're stuck with him this year and next year.
Now, is some of that, and you would know better than I would, is some of that Falcons dead money that if he's traded wouldn't be Titans dead money if they released him because of signing bonus given to him up front kind of stuff? Or is that straight up, if the Titans trade for him, getting rid of him would cost you $19 million over the next 2 years?
There's $5 million in signing bonus in each of the next 2 years, 22 and 23.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing they're going to be able to trade for that. Yeah. That doesn't make a ton of sense. Here's the other part of this, too. And this is where the minicamp stuff comes into, is put tight end to the side for a second. There's a part of me that thinks the Titans feel comfortable with a receiving core of A.J. Brown, Josh Reynolds, Des Fitzpatrick, Cam Batson, Marcus Johnson, and maybe, you know, another guy they add before training camp that could come in and compete.
Westbrook and Kenny, you know,
they love him.
NWI.
I feel like they probably feel like they're okay at wide receiver, even if we don't feel like they're okay at wide receiver. And when I say we, yeah, I mean the fans.
Yeah, I think, you know, and even we as media. I mean, because I asked Coach Vrabel directly about that. And if you remember what he said, you know, our opinion of the receiving core, I think, is a bit different from yours. And, I mean, that says it right there. That tells you that they obviously have a better feel, or not even feel, but a better – they're more comfortable, a better comfort level with the guys in that building than myself as a media person or a lot of the fans who are clamoring for this this Julio Jones, and even Derrick Henry, who's clamoring for it too.
Well, I think the other thing, and you and I have talked about this, I think Josh Reynolds has a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that Reynolds has earned the shot to be the number two, very clearly defined number two wide receiver. I think Reynolds has earned that shot, and there's a chance that he's really a number three, and that you brought him in to give him a chance to be a number two because he probably took number three money to get a number two role to show off for teams, and you needed a number two, so you kind of get a little bargain basement deal here, and it doesn't work out. I think Reynolds is going to be a very, very solid contributor in the pass game. And that's to Vrabel's point about we feel better at receiver than maybe you guys do. probably is a lot about what they think of Josh Reynolds, who I had multiple people in that organization tell me before I think even the season was over or right when it ended, hey, keep an eye out on Josh Reynolds. And I think they're really, I think they really are excited to have him in there. And I'm kind of excited for him to get the opportunity.
Well, first off, I don't think it's a matter of Josh Reynolds. I think it's more the slot situation because, you know, me personally, I feel Josh Reynolds, I'm right on board with you on all that, the number two. And the thing with him, remember, he has a good year. Guess what you got to do?
Pay him.
Exactly. So because it's a one-year deal. But I think that situation is different from, you know, the exchange that Coach Vrabel and I had because I was referring more to the slot because, look, they don't have – and it all depends on what type of slot you want. You know, some teams, a lot of teams, in fact, want that guy that's like that short, shifty, make a DB just look stupid on those under routes, those choice routes and those type of things, and just moves the chains that way, a la Adam Humphries. So that's something that they don't have. But if they want a bigger guy to play the slot, well, then, you know, I talked to Redale Anthony yesterday, who for talking with TD, and he's a former receiver in the league, but he trained Dez Fitzpatrick. And he told me he thinks Fitzpatrick, his initial contribution is going to come in the slot.
Yep.
So there you have it right there. And I know you have the person that you spoke to, and they said pretty much the same thing. So apparently that could be the case. But either way, the bottom line is this. They feel better about that unit overall than we do.
I wonder if Rydell Anthony has any thoughts on Urban Meyer taking Tim Tebow, because I feel like he was in a similar spot when he was in Washington,
yeah,
and Steve Spurrier brought all those Florida Gators in there. Here comes Urban bringing in Tim Tebow. TD's with us, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your questions for TD on the text line. But next, TD's takeaways from rookie minicamp. What did he like? What did he see? And he just kind of previewed a chat on talking with TD, so I'm sure there's a lot in there as well. Stillman & Company's delivered by TriStar Moving. We are live at Social Furniture, where I about walked away with one of these couches. If you see me rolling out of here with one of those couches, trust me, they are worth it. Memorial Day sale, deliver the next day and set up what's available in stock. Memorial Day sale up to 70% off of retail, interest-free financing, no credit check, no money down. And, of course, you can enter to win Preds tickets for Game 3 lower level, Game 4 lower level, and that recliner that they are giving away Memorial Day weekend. That's Social Furniture, 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville, which, of course, West Nashville is where we are hanging out here on Stillman and Company. And again, tomorrow, you can register to win Game 4 tickets with Darren Donick and Chase. They'll be broadcasting live from Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena from 10 to 2. And I'll have a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to Game 4. The TD Power Hour is presented by the Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I guess just after last year not having a rookie minicamp, nice to be able to have these guys in here to get started working with them so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's very exciting, Teresa, to be able to work with a group of players that, you know, we evaluated, you know, for quite some time, to get them in here to get them to understand our program, things that we believe are important, begin to teach them, get into a schedule, get into a routine, begin to install some of our offensive and defensive and special teams terminologies and plays. And then as far as the numbers go, I mean, it's kind of different every year. This year we've got a decent, nice group of offensive linemen, but unfortunately only one defensive lineman. So a lot of the stuff has been group work and individual, but I do feel like there's been a lot of great teaching and there was a lot of, you know, really good energy out there today. I feel like we were better today than we were yesterday.
That was Mike Vrabel this weekend, Titans rookie mini camp. TD is with us for the TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online, freedomtireguys.com. TD, I'm sure it was nice to be out there covering football again, but I got to know, what did you think of those rookies?
Yeah, it was awesome to be able to be out there, man. I loved it, just every single bit of that. You know, it was great to be on that grass and seeing the coaches work with them. As far as what I got out of it, I think there's only so much that you could pull. There was a lot of work with individual period and just technique development. I think Rashad Weaver, that guy is a lot longer and leaner than I thought. He came across to me as like a more stocky guy, but I mean, he has some length with him, and that was really impressive. The other thing that impressed me was just the extra work that they were doing with him. You saw Shane Bowen rotate all over the defensive side of the field, but he worked a bit with Weaver and one of the other outside linebackers, and Mike Vrabel came over there and actually posted a clip on Twitter, and there's a lot of just instruction that he's just giving them, and just like, wow, man, like that dude is really out there teaching them, you know. So I thought that was interesting. Really can't pull much from the defensive and offensive linemen, you know, especially like with Naquan Jones. You know, I give him props. Like, that dude has the stamina of a John Deere tractor, because it was just him out there, man, and it was three coaches, and they were working that guy. I mean, like, really working him, and he kept going. So shout out to him for that. The receivers, they were, you know, they were solid. Des Fitzpatrick, he moved pretty well in the drills. I think that the main thing with him was, you know, he caught everything that came his way, and they worked on some ball concentration drills, and then they worked on just some other type of footwork drills, box drills, and those type of things. And, you know, Coach Todd Downing, he has to get his camp arm together, because there were some off-target throws, but Fitzpatrick was pulling them in. So those were pretty much the things that I pulled. Monty Rice is going to be an interesting player to watch. I think he's someone that we do need to stay tuned on. He's someone, Mike Vrabel, and who's the linebackers coach? Haslett, Coach Haslett. Those guys were working with him on drops and those type of things, getting the depth, reading the quarterback. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It was mainly just an instructional period, to be honest with you.
What did you think about, you know, you brought up the length and leanness of Weaver. What did you think about Rice and maybe how Monty Rice fits into what the Titans want to do at middle linebacker? Because it does seem like that pick was made with the long term in mind.
Yeah, Monty Rice is your classic point and shoot type of guy, right? Like, he's the one that you have out there, and you just say, hey, man, go wherever the ball is, just go blow it up. And that's what he does. So I think that's going to be good. And in all honesty, when Rashawn Evans has a great understanding of the defense, that's what he does. You know, so I could see kind of the similarities there as far as just guys who are just one-man wrecking crews. So that pick, in my opinion, it's one of them's not going to be here. Whether it's Jayon Brown or Rashawn Evans, next year one of those guys are going to be gone. And, I mean, it's just, that's the bottom line. That's the truth is the truth. And Monty Rice and David Long are going to be, you know, guys vying for a starting spot. I mean, we could end up not seeing either of those guys there. I'm not saying I would suggest losing Brown and Evans, but I think that pick gives them that depth, as you mentioned, future. But then in the meantime, this guy's going to be a special teams demon too, because, again, it goes back to what I said. Find the ball and blow it up, and that's what he does.
TD is with us, thoughts from Titans rookie minicamp. What did you think of Racy McMath? I heard Joe Rexroad say he thought that McMath is just a mammoth out there on the football field. And Caroline and I were kind of talking about it. Caroline, obviously big LSU fan, went to LSU. And I said the way Joe Rexroad was talking, it was, hey, if Racy McMath can play, they might have something there at wide receiver. And as she pointed out, that's a very big if. What did you think of McMath out there, especially given his size and speed?
Yeah, McMath is that's it right there, size and speed. He definitely has that. But I think you also have to factor in lateral movement, quickness. Those are things that he has to develop a little bit better in order to be a legitimate receiving option. But you ask him to run it in a straight line, he's going to run faster than most people, which is perfect, because now you have a guy that you could put out there and be your gunner. You have a guy that you could put out there, you know, and be on the outside on kickoff team, right? And mm-hmm. a guy that will just go down there, get down there faster than everyone, and you know, hopefully not get broken down with a move and be able to make the play. And I think the coverage unit is going to be better because of a guy like him. And they still have Westbrook Ekwonu, you know, that could do that. And also Dane Cruikshank was a top-flight special teamer when he was healthy.
Do you think that there's any chance McMath could be a replacement for Khalif Raymond on the deep ball?
Not really. I think that's more or less going to be something that Josh Reynolds, I think, is going to bring to the table. And everyone looks at his average per catch in the league and they say, oh, well, he's not a deep threat. Go back to A&M. I mean, the guy averaged 17, 18 yards per catch, and he was a legitimate deep threat receiver. So he's someone I think will be able to benefit from a lot of those play action deep passes that Khalif Raymond got big plays off of. And I mean, he said it, you know, Ryan likes to throw that thing deep. That's what he said. And that was a part of why he wanted to come here.
TD is with us, the TD Power Hour. Up next, your questions for TD. 615-737-1025. Calls and texts. We'll roll right to the questions for TD. So we're taking a little Preds breather here with the TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. We are live at Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Register to win Game 3 and 4 tickets. Plus, they're giving away a recliner Memorial Day weekend. You can just register to win right here today. That's right. Get excited. ESPN 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and our friends at Nashville SC. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live out of Social Furniture again with your chance to win tickets to Games 3 and 4. Come on by to register lower-level tickets. Preds and Canes. Got a lot of thoughts on that. We'll get back into that in just a second. But it's the TD Power Hour. And again, Teron Davenport is with us, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Just a reminder, ESPN 94.9 is the home for Nashville Sounds baseball. Tonight, the Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves at First Horizon Park. Pregame with Jeff Hym begins at 6:20. First pitch at 6:35. Sounds baseball is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, 312 Pizza Company, as well. And let me just say before we get to the questions for TD, aha to you for betting the Mets over the Braves last night, and aha to you, TD, as the Braves hit that home run last night, and I won the bet, so I, you know, even though the Braves stink this year, it's at least worth something.
They played three games. How many games did the Mets win?
I didn't see first.
You just happened to miss them?
It's a hockey player. Very busy over here. Very busy over here.
With a broken down roster.
Dude, the Mets are a lot better than the Braves, that I can tell you all. But it's time for the people and TD. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton is on the text line. What do we have for Teron?
Alex asked TD, do you think Julio has a year or two left of 1,000-yard seasons?
I think he has one. I mean, you look, he had, what, 771 or something like that last year, and that offense was kind of all over the place. So I think he has one. But the thing is, and it's something that Rob Moore actually talked about when I asked him about having the possibility of having 2,000-yard receivers when Corey Davis was closing in on it. And he said that the receivers that we have and what their process is in the receiving room is to have pride in getting 1,000 yards off of 50 to 60 catches. Now, can Julio Jones do that is the question. I don't know. But I believe that he could, maybe not for the Titans, but for another team, have 1,000 yards.
Can I just say for the record on the Julio front, I would really truly like to see what happens if Arthur Smith and, like, with him as coach, if Julio stays healthy, Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, Matt Ryan, I'd like to see what Arthur does with those guys. I know a lot of people think that Matt Ryan's washed up and done, and maybe he is, but I'd like to see a season with Arthur calling the plays with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think that would be really good, especially those play-action dagger-type combinations that they do. I think that would be awesome, getting Julio Jones across the middle, and you have Calvin Ridley running that post over top. I think they would do some things.
Another texter asked, if you think the Packers can work out a way to get Julio Jones, would Aaron Rodgers be happy?
You know what? I don't think Aaron Rodgers will ever be happy. He's just one of those people that just seems to love being upset. And that's just my belief with him. But that being said, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks ever. So, you know, I'm not taking a shot at him. But I think that would be good for them. Really, picking up Amari Rodgers is going to be even better for them, because that's going to give, if Aaron Rodgers plays, a Randall Cobb type of player. Ironically, Rodgers' dad, T. Martin, coached Randall Cobb when he was at Kentucky, and I think that's a similarity as far as the type of player and ways that they could use him. So I think that will be good enough, but I don't know with Aaron Rodgers, man. There's no telling.
I think that those people like he and Michael Jordan and guys who take the slightest of slights,
yes,
so incredibly personal,
yes,
that it drives them as a competitor to be so unbelievable. I think that that must be a miserable existence. Like,
I left because I just see the image of Michael Jordan holding the tablet, and he was like, and I took that personally. You know what I mean? You're so right.
I mean, that entire thing was about, like, who's Michael Jordan mad at today? And when that George Karl thing came up, like, George Karl didn't say hi at the restaurant, so Michael dropped 45 on him. I'm like, okay. Like, and you know what? That great. Like, I think people hear that, and they're like, wow, that's competitive. That's that fire. And it is. And they're right. Like, that is kind of cool. Brady, I think, has a lot of that, too. But imagine the whole day just stewing over the fact that George Karl didn't say hi to you in the restaurant the night before game one of the finals. Or just imagine being completely disconnected with your family like Aaron Rodgers is. And I mean, it's just got to be a miserable existence. But then again, that's why those guys have a bajillion dollars and I don't. So that probably has something to do with it.
You probably can't show me a successful person that doesn't have jerk in them. It just is the way it is. I love Shark Tank. That's my favorite show. All of those guys up there and girls, they're jerks. But I love it. That's my favorite show, man. I love that show.
Now, I think I got some jerk in me. I just don't think I have that kind of jerk.
See, but I think there's a very, very fine line that Aaron Rodgers has to walk because, yeah, there's a little bit of jerk in him, but is he maybe have a little bit too much jerk to him?
Yeah.
Oh,
it
sure.
could be detrimental.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Donovan asked, where do you rank the Titans' offensive and defensive lines compared to the rest of the league?
Good question. I think the defensive line, are you ready for this? I think it's top 10.
Wow.
I really do. And for me, I am much higher on Jeffrey Simmons than a lot of other people are. I think he's a top-level interior defensive lineman. But then I just look at when you put DeNico Autry into that mix. Now you loop in a Bud Dupree and a Harold Landry. I think they are top 10, and they may not be top 10 in sack numbers, but I think they're top 10 just as far as efficiency and effectiveness, being able to play the run as well as the pass. That's my opinion of them.
I just want them to be able to rotate guys in and out this year. We talked a lot about that during the draft when Ronnie Perkins just sat there on the board for forever. And I wonder, you know, because I hear a lot of the talk about Naquan Jones, and you brought him up. And
Tier Tart
and Larrell Murchison.
Yep. Big Murch.
And I wonder if almost they're better off kind of using Simmons and Autry together on first down and third down, but on second down rotating somebody else in, taking one of those guys off the field so that when push comes to shove in the fourth quarter, they got Autry ready to go and they've got Simmons ready to go. Because I'm with you. I think those two guys can just be monsters this season and monsters that really make each other better.
Well, you know, my thing is this. With Simmons, I don't think there was a problem with his snap counts, and he played a lot last year. Mm-hmm. I think you could keep doing that because Simmons, he's just different, man. And I love the motor that he plays with. I say it over and over again. I love big guys that run down screens. And that's why I love watching Fletcher Cox and Chris Jones and, you know, Jeffrey Simmons as well. You know, coincidentally, these guys are all from the same school. But I think that he has that motor and that engine to be able to play as much as you need him to. I don't think you have to rotate him out.
Another texter texted in and asked, who do you think the Titans would restructure to make Julio happen?
I think it starts with Tannehill. That would be the first one. And, hey, I mean, look, you know, Derrick Henry, put your money where your mouth is, right? I mean, that would be the next person I would go to. You know, I think those two would be the biggest ones, and you could probably free up the most money because those are two of the biggest deals on your roster, right? And just another thing, A.J. Brown, A.J., he says a lot on Twitter, but he said that he would give up number 11 if his idol came to the Titans. So
when it comes to A.J. and giving up more to get his idol to the Titans, Julio Jones, I wonder if it's kind of a I wouldn't advise A.J. to give up any money when it comes contract time in order to keep Julio. But I do wonder if that's one of those things. It's like, hey, A.J., if we're going to go out and make this trade for Julio Jones, it is ultimately going to affect you, and I do wonder how he would feel about that.
You know what, though? I don't know that it will ultimately affect – well, yeah, because 2023, you got 7.7 and dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I mean, I think the easier thing, too, here is they've got to decide – this is a big year for Taylor Lewan. You know, and nobody really talks about this much, but there is almost no dead cap money associated with Taylor Lewan after this year. I like Taylor Lewan, and I think they like Taylor Lewan, but he's missed half the games over the last two seasons. Again, two freakish reasons. You know, a torn ACL, which has never stopped them from drafting or signing anybody, and the PED suspension. But I do wonder, you know, if there's something that happens to Lewan this year, is that then reason for them to not want to redo his deal to almost lock in 22 because they need to see Taylor make it through a full season this year?
I get what you're saying. It's just that guy is just so good, man. And he's so, I guess I'll say it, tailor-made for what they do and on their zone blocking scheme. I mean, that's really the thing with him. There's the trade-off. Okay, yeah, you know what? You had the PED. Will that happen again? Not likely. The injury, you know, that's something that could happen again. But
sure.
I think they're going to be more willing to take their risk with him because you have that guy on the left side. You know that left side, Saffold and Lewan, when those guys are out there, I mean, that left side is in really, really good shape. Actually, from the center to the left side, Ben Jones, right? And the right side is coming along, too, because we know Nate Davis is a budding All-Pro.
He is the best in the business. Teron Davenport, as always, joins us for the TD Power Hour. You know, during the hockey season, the playoff season, it's kind of like, you know, how much football do we put on now that the draft's over? I'm like, look, I got to have the TD Power Hour, especially after they lost two games. You know, that once they lost the second game, I was like, we've got to have the TD Power Hour. TD, I don't know how wound you heard that I was in the first hour, but I would definitely enjoy this hour a lot more, if that makes any sense.
Power hour is better than power play.
Caroline, you stole. That's what I was going to say, man. They got to get this power play going. It was so bad last night that my 12-year-old convinced me to download Roblox, and I played Roblox that whole game. You know, that's crazy.
I didn't even know what Roblox was until I saw their stock company went public, and it was like, yo, this thing's going to blow up. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I obviously did not get in on it, so that tells you how smart I am. TD is always presented by Freedom Tire Guys, National's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, good to talk to you. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Yep. And, of course, be sure to download the Talking with TD podcast. You know, TD talks to all the best people, so you might as well just get the Talking with TD podcast. There is no offseason for Talking with TD. That much we know. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, John Hines got a little testy last night.
Mm-hmm.
John Hines got a little worked up last night. What do we make of it? We will discuss next. And was John right or was John wrong? Plus, Crispy will join us in the next hour as well. We are live from Social Furniture, 5412 Charlotte Avenue, West Nashville. Come on out. You can enter to win the recliner that they're going to give away on Memorial Day weekend. You can enter to win Game 3 tickets. You can enter to win Game 4 tickets. And a reminder, their Memorial Day sale up to 70% off of retail, interest-free financing, no credit check, no money down. Come on out. We've already had a bunch of people come on out, say, hey, swing on by, put your name in there, get on with your day. That's right, Social Furniture. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN at 102.5 The Game.